in everything. There will be hard times. There will be dark times. There will be challenges. But God is God and is worthy of our praise. He is our strength and our shield, our strong tower, our defense, our Savior, our Lord, our Master, our Teacher, our Friend, and so much more. He is our all in all. Amen. We're going to be in Daniel today. The title is A Night of Terror. And off we go already. Knowing what's going on in the book of Daniel. If I can find it. It's in the Old Testament, right? Daniel. Daniel is one of those books of the Bible that has probably grown me in my faith more than probably any other book. There is so much in Daniel that is shows the awesomeness of God. That helps us to realize who God is and to know God and how much He wanted to work with those who would listen to Him and follow Him. But at the same time, we see the consequences of the disobedience. But in this particular part, I think one of the reasons I like the book of Daniel and this first part of Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar is because of the change that took place in this king's life. This Gentile king who was given to his gods, realized, come to know God. And it drastically changed his life. But it didn't have the same effect on his grandson. And that's what we see in this chapter. Daniel chapter 5, starting in verse 1 through verse 4. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank therein. Drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. And look at verse 30, chapter 5, verse 30. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you once again for the privilege that we have of coming before the throne of Almighty God through the veil, that is, through Christ. We thank you for that privilege that you've given to us as believers. And Lord, as we come this morning, we pray, Father, that you would speak from your word to us, that you would strengthen us with your word. Help us to grow closer to you in our relationship with you, that the Holy Spirit might have freedom to work and move in this place and in our lives as individuals, that we might bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ as we live and walk in this present place. May you go with us here today. Be with us. Strengthen us where we are weak. Encourage us. correct us, guide us. Let us be who we need to be for your glory. And may you be exalted and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. King Belshazzar decided it was party time in Babylon. Now, Belshazzar, in chapter 5, starts out, it talks about him being king. He doesn't have a lot of information about this man. The first four chapters are dedicated primarily to Nebuchadnezzar and his relationship with Daniel and what took place, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. But Nebuchadnezzar was the king that was in control when Daniel was taken into captivity and came to an understanding of knowing God. Again, we'll get into that a little later on. Belshazzar is actually his grandson. You'll see him mentioned here in the Bible about being his son, and it doesn't bring it out in the directly here, but as you study Babylonian history, you'll find that Nebuchadnezzar's daughter married Nabopolassar, which was Belshazzar's father. And Nabopolassar left the kingdom to Belshazzar while he went out and conquered in the world. So we see that Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, Belshazzar, is where this chapter starts off and starts off with. And what we find is that he decides to have a party. Now, when you've read this and you understand what's going on, it's like, what was he thinking? He obviously was not paying attention to what was going on in his kingdom. Or he'd have known the enemy was right there. I mean, you don't just move armies in that quick. But instead of paying attention to what was going on, he decides to have a big party. 1,000 of his lords and all of his wives and concubines and all of those people brought together. This was a night that changed the course of Babylon forever. What can we learn from this? How can we learn from this? What we see is that this was a night of terror. And it was the terror of a wasted life. A wasted life. Let's look in Daniel again, chapter 5, verse 17 through 24. It says, and Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy reward to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. Thou, king, the most high God, gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty, and honor, and glory, and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne. And they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men. And his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whosoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, And they have brought the vessels of this house before thee, of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Wow. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. Daniel was called because at this big party that Belshazzar was having, something strange happened. And nobody could read the writing on the wall. Literally. So Daniel was called in. Oh, I remember Daniel now. He helped Nebuchadnezzar. Let's see if he knows anything. He's one of those so-called wise guys that's in the kingdom. So Daniel gets called in, and he gets offered the third position in the kingdom, once again showing the king and the king's son, and then Daniel. If he reads and gives the interpretation of what this means. And Daniel comes in and says, you know what? You should remember what Nebuchadnezzar had done, what your grandfather had done, what he went through as king. You should remember that. It was not that long ago. But what we find is that Belshazzar had lived his entire life without getting right with God. He lived his whole life because it ended that night. How old was he? I don't think he was all that old. But you know, he wasted his life. He had the opportunity to know God. And Daniel made it very clear in that passage I just read that they praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood. But didn't praise the God in whose breath, who gives man breath, the true God. Not only that, but they took the vessels which belonged in the temple in Jerusalem and used them. Mockery. And again, Belshazzar knew what had happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He knew what had happened. Back up a little bit here again in chapter 4. Verse 34 through 37. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. The testimony of Nebuchadnezzar, the one who said, look at this great Babylon which I have built. And then he was humbled. He was made as a wild animal and went out and grazed grass. Became a wild man. But his reasoning came to him. And he acknowledged God. And when he acknowledged God, God restored him to his kingdom. And his testimony, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. He knew this God. He knew the power that this God had. So Belshazzar should know. Because when Nebuchadnezzar did anything, everybody knew it. The whole kingdom knew it. You didn't mess with Nebuchadnezzar. He's the golden image that was set up. The power, the purity, the one God put into office. But Belshazzar, a spoiled little rich boy. Now let's just have a party. Let's forget about, in fact, I never did acknowledge him, that God of my grandfather. And Belshazzar had spent his whole life and had invested his life in things that pass away. It's sad to watch people live their entire life and reject God. Let me ask you this morning, what are you investing your time in? We must be careful at what we do with our time. Because life is, the Bible says, a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. What are you doing with your vapor? Are you giving it to God? Using it for God? Are you acknowledging God? Here's a man who did not. He had time for pleasure. He had time for business. But he had no time for God. We must watch that we don't fall into this pattern. Pleasure and business rule our world. But not really. God rules. But how much time do we spend acknowledging God? And how much time do we spend on business and pleasure? Mark 8, 36 and 37 says this. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That night, Nebuchadnezzar died. Not Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, I'm sorry. Died. He couldn't change what he believed, what he thought. Wouldn't change. And it really was a night of terror. He had wasted his life. But we find that it was also the terror of the wrath of God. God hates sin. God knows those that reject Him. And though we have a loving, caring God, we still have a just God. And a God who has a wrath that has been promised to be poured out on man. And it will be. In fact, we see it right here. Back in Daniel chapter 5, verses 25 through 28. The writing that was put on the wall. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Pharez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Wow. You know, I'll bet that party wasn't so important at that point. What's going on? His life just fell apart. The hand that wrote on the wall in a language he could not read, or no one there could read except Daniel, was given, and the interpretation was given. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. You're done. Wow. How'd you like God tell you, you're done? I put you in this place to do something, and you're done. Wow. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. And he makes it personal here. Thou art weighed in the balances, are found wanting. You didn't measure up. And the last part, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Not only have you failed, but you failed the nation. And now it's taken over by two countries, the Medes and the Persians. From that point on, the Babylonians were captive themselves. He went from being king to being dead. The people went from being Babylonians to being captives in the Mede and Persian Empire. Are weighed in the balance and found wanting. This is how much you need, and this is how much you have. And it doesn't come out right. You know, we're all in that. This is how much you need to be saved, and this is how much you have, and it's not enough. What makes the difference is Jesus Christ. He is what balances our scale for us. He is our just payment. The God of Daniel, the God that Nebuchadnezzar accepted, is God. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar said that. The King of heaven, all whose works are truth, his ways are judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. But his grandson did not acknowledge him. The patience of God had been exhausted. God had come to a point where he said, that's it. It's done. Belshazzar's kingdom was finished, and it would end that night. When we think about the wrath of God, none of us want to experience the wrath of God. But the Bible does talk about the wrath. Moses wrote about the wrath of God in Deuteronomy 9:19. He said, "For I was afraid of the anger and the hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also." The same time, the Israelites had come out, build a golden calf, and God said, that's it. I'm going to destroy them. And Moses intervened and interceded in prayer to God and fasted and prayed for Israel and his brother, Aaron. Because God's wrath was getting ready to be poured out on them. And God told him, I'll wipe them out and start fresh with you. Paul wrote about the wrath of God to the Romans. Chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Paul wrote about the wrath of God being poured out, and what it looks like and why. Worshipping the gods that are not gods. And John wrote about the wrath of God in Revelation 14, 19 through 20. And it says, "And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even into the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs." Let me tell you, the wrath of God is very real. While God is a loving God, and God is the expression of love, he will not tolerate ungodliness. He will not tolerate blasphemy. He will not tolerate man's sin. In fact, gave us freedom from that sin in Jesus Christ. He provided everything we need to not have the wrath of God poured out on us through Jesus Christ. It's a warning to mankind. Without Jesus, you will experience the wrath of God. And I can guarantee you, these little glimpses that we've seen here don't hardly touch it. So how do we escape the wrath of God? By confession and repentance of our sin. It will change your life eternally. Confession, I am a sinner. I have been walking contrary to God. I've been living contrary to God. I've been doing my own thing. I've been going my own direction. It's not what God wants. We must realize we've walked contrary to God. Confession. Repentance, then, is turning away from that. Turning away from our sin. By placing our faith completely and only in Jesus. Completely and only in Jesus. It's not in what I can do. Even Nebuchadnezzar pointed out, God can do with man whatever he pleases. He was a king, and he thought he had all power. And he had a lot of power for a man. But God brought him down and lifted him back up. We need to place our faith completely and only in Jesus. What we find here is a picture of Noah and his family in the ark. We must be in Christ to escape the wrath of God. The flood is an example of the wrath of God. No one survived that except those who were in Christ, who were in the ark. The wrath of God, while God has poured out pictures just like the flood of his wrath, it's still coming. He is not done. The world will be destroyed. Heaven will be destroyed and remade. The Bible says there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Man will be judged by God's wrath, the payment. And it's not something that, well, that's done now, we can go on. It's eternal. It's eternal. Eternal death is eternal death. Eternal separation from God. Now that's terror. And that's eternal terror. And the third point is, it was the terror of a sinner's death. Daniel 5:30 says, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. The king of the Chaldeans was slain. It was customary to kill the king of the country that was being taken over, to stop the lineage. And more so, God had already condemned him. And it's interesting when you read Daniel that while the Medes and the Persians came in and took over, they set Daniel up. Why? Because God did it. Belshazzar was living a foolish life for himself. Daniel was living for the Lord. Daniel's life and the way he lived looked foolish to Belshazzar. And I can guarantee you, as Daniel looked at Belshazzar, and he knew what he knew about God, and knowing Daniel's prayer life, I can see Daniel praying for Belshazzar. But he would not. He would not hear God. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. You know, I bet death was not on Belshazzar's mind at the party. We live in our world sometimes and are so active in our life that we don't think about, wow, what if this is my last day? But any day could be. What have I done for God? What have I done with God? He had other things on his mind. How many times do we have other things on our mind than the things of God? You know, death is on its way to every one of us. Every one of us. I've heard this week of several people that's lost loved ones. Some that's my age. Some that's older. Death is coming to us all. But we need to realize there's more than physical death. There's more than this current life. And if we get that straight now, we'll be okay. In Hebrews 9, chapter 9, verse 27, it says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." God has appointed us to die once. But there is a judgment that's coming. For the Christian, for the believer, for those who are in Christ, there is still a judgment coming. For those who are not in Christ, those who have never received Christ, those who refused Him, there is a judgment coming. They're different judgments. One is the judgment seat of Christ, which is for the Christians, and the white throne judgment, which is for believers, unbelievers of all ages. These judgments will come, but they're not in this present lifetime. They're yet to come. When we look at kings and those titled as earth's most successful, they also face death and leave everything behind. We've seen pictures of Egyptian kings that are buried with all their treasures so that they could have them with them. Well, you know what? They're not with them. Or we wouldn't be able to see them. And when he does get his body back, those treasures are going to be the least of his concern. Because the Bible talks about the resurrection of the dead. the dead are those who have not received Christ. You know, there is a terror in facing death unprepared and bound for hell. If I don't think about it, it's not so terrifying. That doesn't prevent it. God has warned us. God has forewarned us. Everyone. To trust Him. To rely on Him. To walk with Him. To be obedient unto Him. To know Him. He's given us access to His Word, to Him directly through Christ. He's given us Jesus as our example of our how to live in this body. And has provided that for us. In fact, you could say that God has done everything possible for us. Why would anybody reject Him? But they do. And it's because of that that His wrath will be poured out upon mankind. Because they have rejected everything that He's given. Surely if I send my Son, they will listen to Him. No, they didn't. Surely if someone raises from the dead, they'll listen to Him. No, they didn't. But some do. For those that do, they're blessed. And they're given life. For those that don't, those that go on, like Belshazzar, like others who have said, you know, let's just have a party. Forget about things out there in the world. There is no God. There's lots of gods. His eyes were opened that night. Hebrews 9:28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. There is where the scale is balanced for you. For me, for all of mankind, is with Christ. Only with Christ. You can't balance a scale. You don't have what it takes. And you never will on your own. It takes Christ and Christ alone to do it. Don't let this night of terror come upon you. Don't let the wrath of God come upon you. And you know what? I know Jesus is my Savior. And I don't have to worry about the wrath of God in my life. Because He's taking care of that. But we all know people who haven't taken care of it. And we know that the wrath of God will be poured out. Because He said He would. And God cannot lie. What do they need? They need Jesus. The same thing we need. The same thing we can't live without. In fact, we can't even have life without Christ. We look at this terror, this night of terror, and we see the terror of a wasted life. Don't waste your life. You are of great value to God. Give your life to God. We see the terror of the wrath of God. Don't experience this wrath. God has proclaimed it throughout His Word. You don't want to make God mad. The one who's done everything for us, given us everything, provided everything for us, the one who has paid our debt. And we reject Him. He's right in pouring out His wrath. He's just. And the terror of a sinner's death, it's not going to get better. Going from a party to hell. And your next advancement is into the eternal lake of fire. A lot to look forward to. No, it's not. Talk about terror. Belshazzar experienced them all that night. But you know what? While it can be gloomy when we stay there, it gets bright when we think of Jesus Christ. When we realize we don't have to stay there. When we realize that we're a sinner and that we cannot get right with God in anything we can do, it seems hopeless. But our hope is not in what we can do anyway. It's in Jesus. In fact, it's in what He's already done for you. And when we realize that, it is He who creates that new creature, who moves into our life and takes up residence within us. And the Holy Spirit guides us and teaches us and directs us so that we can understand the Word of God, so that we can tell others and warn others of the wrath that is coming. Will they think you're crazy? Probably. It's okay. Let them know. Because down inside, man knows. I truly believe that. That we were created to worship God. And if that isn't good enough, Romans 1:18 through there that I read earlier. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that mankind is without excuse. Creation shouts, there's a God. Creation shouts that God made us and God has provided for us. There is no excuse. There is no gods of wood and silver and gold. There's God Almighty. But Jesus Christ has provided for us all we need to avoid this terror. And He changes our life from what we once were to who He wants us to be. Have you let Him make that change in your life? Let's stand together.